الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful upon His servants that He bestows not one amazing opportunity, but literally fills the life of the servant with opportunity after opportunity. And, you know, most people in life, when they look upon their life and they look upon the opportunities, they feel honored and privileged if they get one chance in the spotlight. And that's really the truth. I mean, if somebody gets to be honored at some gathering, or, you know, let's say that there's a soccer fan and they get to attend the World Cup once in their lifetime, or there's a soccer player and they get to play in the World Cup once in their lifetime, that literally for them makes their entire existence. Because such opportunities in life are just so rare. They're so rare. And people tend to hang on to just those few memories because of how rare they tend to be. But subhanAllah, the interactions in deen, they're just continuous. And each one is so extreme and provides such amazing depth that you literally have to pinch yourself and ask, is this real? I mean, just think, I know it feels like a long time ago, and it's actually shame on us that it feels like a long time ago, but we just passed the month of Ramadan. And, like, no words can describe. No words can describe all of the blessings that were associated with that month. No words can describe the fact that we were given the opportunity of that month. No words can describe the himma and the blessings that Allah bestowed upon us during that month. And no words can describe all of the rewards that we were able to accumulate in that month. That's why, I mean, for me, it's like, what? How could we even forget that, like, Ramadan came or feel like it was somewhat distant? It's such a great blessing. And, you know, Ramadan has its first fast. It has its rare moments when tears drop from a person's eyes. It has its rare moments when we wake up to our reality and really make an intention to change. It has those rare moments where we seek forgiveness from Allah. It has those rare moments where an opportunity to do something good all of a sudden pops up in front of us, which we honestly didn't even deserve to partake of. It has those rare moments where we get touched by the Quran. It has those rare, that very, very rare moment called Laylatul Qadr. It has that rare moment of Khatam of the Quran. It has the rare moment of being able to celebrate Eid. I mean, there's so much packed into Ramadan that literally, if it was once and one of those events were to fall upon our life, it would literally make our existence. Just like if someone were to play in the World Cup, or someone were to sit in the NBA Finals, or someone were to, sit in the, for example, they might say, I once met a Nobel laureate. It would, like, make their existence. They would tell the story for the rest of their lives. They would tell their grandchildren. And we, subhanAllah, are blessed with so many moments, and they just continuously arise over and over again. One has to wonder, like, what are we thinking? Like, how is it that we're not like completely chattering about this day and night? That this beautiful month and this, the opportunities of the month and the rewards of the month and the changes that occur in such a month, how could it be a memory? Like, how could it ever be a memory? Just like if somebody met the president, they would never let that memory go. They would never let that memory go. They would continuously remind people, yeah, I did meet the president. Oh, do you want to ask me about that time that I met the president? You must be curious about the time that I met the president. It would just become their chatter. It would be their speech. It would be their tweet. And subhanAllah, we went through such an amazing, life-changing, deep experience and accumulated so much in that time, in such a short time. How could it become a memory? How could it become distant? How could it be like, where did it go? It's just a sign that, you know, in fact, the reality is we're given so many blessings that we fail to appreciate the reality of any one of them. Now, that was the month of Ramadan, but that is not even a distant memory. First of all of us look forward to it coming again next year. And second of all, so many of its components remain accessible to us even outside of the month. If a person wants to continue and build upon the fasting of the month of Ramadan, it's totally available to them by fasting on the sunnah Mondays and Thursdays. If somebody wants to perpetuate the attachment with Quran that they gained in the month of Ramadan, it's completely available to them. They can every day crack open the miracle of Islam and be able to engage and experience its movements, its words, its ups, its downs, its, you know, taking you through scenes and stories. Every single day that's available to us. If a person wants to appreciate all of the different opportunities of sadaqah and goodness that arose during the month of Ramadan, they remain always accessible to us. If a person wants to turn to Allah the way that they turn to Allah in Ramadan, any moment is an opportunity. We don't even have a time or a place. Any place, literally, a person could be sitting in the middle of the mall. It just strikes them for a moment that Allah is my Lord. I have yet to worship Him the way He deserved to be worshipped. And that, honestly, could make a person's existence. We are so blessed in this deen. We are so blessed in this deen to be able to engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of the opportunities that He provides for us. And we should be people who appreciate that. We have to be cognizant of the blessings that have been bestowed upon us, and we should be people who appreciate that. The fact that we can even take the name Allah, the fact that the name Allah can even come off of our tongues, it's not a small blessing. Go back and look at historically even the Bani Israel and what they had to do in order to even say the name Allah. And the fact that we've been blessed with Jummah and other communities asked for Jummah, but Jummah was bestowed upon us is another blessing. The fact that we have the ability to make wudu and remove the impurity, spiritual and physical, that exists and precludes us and acts as a bulwark to preclude us from being able to engage Allah. All of these are such enormous blessings. You know, imagine if somebody said that, I'm going to teach you a mechanism by which you can engage that which has no similarity with you. It would be impossible. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no similarity with creation and is beyond anything that creation can ever even imagine, and then we have the opportunity to be able to engage Him. I mean, what an amazing blessing. But of course, that's predicated upon purity and wudu and tahara. And the fact that we have tahara and we can use that as a surrogate to be able to achieve some degree of semblance of presentation and put ourselves before Allah is just one more experience in the deen. Now, again, like I say, there's so many blessings that what ends up happening is we lose sense of the reality of every one of them because and can't appreciate that every one of them is magnificent. I'm telling you, one wudu is magnificent. One wudu is magnificent. Because it's the mechanism by which the person who never would have been able to engage with the Quran can actually then physically engage with the Quran. It's the mechanism by which the person who would have never been able to obtain that type of proximity to their Lord can then use that as a key to open the door to salah. It's the mechanism that allows a person to be able to do tawaf around the house of Allah. All of these things require wudu, touching the Quran, engaging in prayer, making tawaf. Where would we be without wudu? We are a people who have so many blessings. We have so many blessings that we've lost sight of all of the blessings. It's like the person who's so wealthy that they lose sense of what money means. We're exactly the same boat. Allah bestows blessing upon blessing, blessing upon blessing, blessing upon blessing. We are so drowned in Allah's blessings that we ourselves lose sense of what is a blessing. Now, among the blessings that Allah bestows upon the community, one of the very special blessings is the blessing of Hajj. And subhanAllah, it's so interesting that, you know, as you're aware, Hajj is a journey in which a person makes a trip to Mecca and, of course, has the intention of the pleasure of Allah and the forgiveness of their sins. And they make a trip to Mecca and they perform a few acts. And those few acts allow them to be able to erase an entire lifetime of sin. Now that journey, Hajj, it occurs in a window. It has to occur in the period of Hajj. You can't just go and do Hajj anytime. And the period of Hajj begins the day Ramadan ends. The period of Hajj, the timing of Hajj, the window of Hajj, begins the day Ramadan ends. And then, of course, it builds up its peak until eventually everybody has to perform a series of acts over 5 days in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. But, for example, you know that a person can perform Umrah before, a person can and usually performs Umrah before going for Hajj. And that Umrah can be performed literally the day after Ramadan, because the window of Hajj begins. And subhanAllah, it just goes to show you, like, Hajj, Ramadan just ended moments ago, and as soon as Ramadan ends, Allah does not even leave us uncovered for a second. The sun of Ramadan hasn't even set, and the new sun of Hajj begins to rise. We're like double light. It's not even double. It's one more light. We have so many layers of light. It's one more nur upon us. SubhanAllah, these are the enormous blessings that Allah bestows upon any person that is seeking a relationship with Him. Now, when we think about Hajj, there's a lot of interesting points, and we'll be talking about some of them over the next few weeks because we're entering the season of Hajj. So really, like I said, like, what? How could we talk about anything else, honestly? Like, there's this enormous glowing opportunity which just presents itself before us, and if we're not blinded and completely mesmerized by it, then we've completely lost sense of where we are and who we are. So in this opportunity of Hajj, the first thing to appreciate is that in the context of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhibits His extreme forgiveness and the extremity of His mercy all at one time. All at one time. And in fact, there's an interesting point that you know, I'll just share with you that comes in tafsir of Quran. When you study Quran, tafsir of Quran, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously shares His characteristics with Him, and that by itself is just subhanAllah amazing, because we would never be able to understand any characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that He provides it for us and then describes it to us. But in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And it's interesting because when we read Quran, we just kind of blow past these lines. We don't appreciate even what we're saying sometimes. But just to think for a moment, and again, I can only share just one perspective here. But when you say Allah, Wallahu Ghafurur Rahim, that Allah is Al Ghafur and Ar Rahim, you're basically roughly translating that Allah is the forgiving and Allah is the merciful. And one of the ways to appreciate this, and of course it's highly limited because we can never capture any of these realities in any sense of words, but just to try to paint a picture in our minds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, is forgiving to the extent that at any moment in time, at any place, without any precondition, if somebody turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really, from the bottom of their heart, appreciates that they have made a mistake or they have not lived up to an ideal and seeks forgiveness from Allah, there is nothing that can prevent the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely envelop them. And the enveloping is absolute, meaning it doesn't even leave one stain. You know, like any time in life when you want to clean something, eventually you get stains. You know, I'm sure if you, here, I have a stain, you know, on this white cloth, it gets dirty and you can wash it and wash it and wash it and eventually you're going to get stains. Nothing in life gets to the point where you damage it and it just can't be cleaned, that it can be completely cleaned and renewed. Everything will always show a stain or its age. But subhanAllah, Allah's forgiveness is such that when a person turns to Allah with sincerity, seeking forgiveness from Him, it completely envelops the person such that no stain remains. It's amazing. No stain remains. Now, beyond that, the other characteristic that also is quickly associated with this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also merciful. So, despite the fact that He takes a person from their complete state of needing forgiveness and brings them back to neutral, He doesn't leave them at neutral. He also rewards them in such a way that they end up highly positive. They end up way ahead of where they could have ever imagined they would be. I'll just give you an example, and I shared this example earlier today in the masjid as well. But just imagine for a moment, just to understand this concept, and again, it's unfortunate that we have to use words to try to explain these things because, of course, we can never capture their realities, so I already start by expressing that limitation. But just imagine for a moment that there's a highly bankrupt person. There's a person engaged in business or just whatever, their home finances, their personal finances. They're just completely bankrupt to the extreme. Bad decision after bad decision, mistake after mistake, unfortunate event after unfortunate event leaves them absolutely paralyzed in bankruptcy. No escape. So they end up before the judge. And when they go to the judge, the hope is that their debts will be forgiven, right? This is what bankruptcy court essentially entails. You go in front of the judge, you explain your circumstance, and you hope that they'll wipe away the debt. Now, honestly, when a person goes in front of a judge and tries to alleviate their debt, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, even if half my debt goes away, it's a good thing. If 3/4 of my debt goes away, it's a good thing. If all my debt, except my school loans, which are notoriously difficult to get removed, even if all my debt except my school loans gets removed, it's a good thing. They would be really, really, and really, really just over the top, and it would be a life-changing event if the judge would just forgive all their debt. That would be a big deal. Now imagine that a person goes in front of a judge, is in an absolute horrible state of debt, presents their case before the judge, and the judge says, "We forgive all the debt. And we erase it from your record completely so that no one even remembers that you had debt. And we remove it in such a way that you can't even remember that you had debt. And then on top of that, we're going to give you $5 million. It would never happen, and no one would ever be able to think that it would happen. But imagine that extreme, that a person came in utter debt, hoping to just be slightly alleviated, They're completely, the debt is completely alleviated, the memory of the debt's completely erased, and they're sent home with $5 million, which basically means they never have to worry again about how to make their ends meet. SubhanAllah, this is just a similitude of Allah's mercy upon the believer, particularly in Hajj. Because think about it. A person comes to Hajj absolutely bankrupt. They spent their whole life accumulating debt, spiritual debt. Their whole life, if they excelled in one thing, it was that they excelled in sin, disobedience, and debt, creating tremendous debt, spiritual debt. Now what happens? They show up, they spend a few thousand dollars, they show up at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these specific times, they perform a few acts, not another lifetime. I mean, subhanAllah, it's not that you spent 50 years disobeying, so now you spend 50 years circling the Kaaba. They spend 5 days, 5 days performing a few simple acts, and as soon as they perform those acts, even before they finish, honestly, because it's Arafah is the first act, it's one of the earliest acts, even before they finish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all of their debt. But that's not the end of it. Yes, they achieve the status of being completely newborn, as we know from the hadith. But that's not the end of it. Then, as they continue their Hajj and seek Allah's acceptance, in the end, when Allah accepts their Hajj, they get a reward of what? What's the reward of an accepted Hajj? Nothing except Jannah. So they come from one extreme of having spent their life accumulating mistake upon mistake, mistake upon mistake, and they come present themselves before their Lord. Their mistakes are forgiven in such a way that all of that's completely removed. And on top of that, they're sent home with the final reward that a person would have spent their whole life trying to achieve to begin with, if they would have lived life properly. So they're essentially given more than $5 million. And they're sent home with a gift. Like, you know, when you go to a wedding, they hand you a little bag at the end. It has some dates and some nuts and this and that. Or sometimes they'll hand you like a goodie bag. Like the goodie bag of Hajj is Jannah. Here, everybody, before you leave, here's the party favor. Everybody gets Jannah if your Hajj is accepted. I mean, subhanAllah, that's like, think about that. Like, the party favor, maybe that helps everybody understand because we live in such a funny world. The party favor of Hajj is Jannah, subhanAllah. Like, where do you find such a gathering? Where do you find such an opportunity? How merciful is Allah that He forgives to that extent and then sends you away with a gift? Like, where do you find that? Just imagine if you had to go seek forgiveness from someone. Like, let's say you had a falling out with someone. It was a conflict. You go to them and you seek forgiveness. They're probably going to say to you, somewhere in the conversation, well, it's okay, you shouldn't have done that, but it's okay. If they're really high character, they won't say that. They'll simply say, don't worry about it. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking, this guy finally showed up. But I can guarantee you, no one's going to say, don't worry about it, here's $5,000 as well. Just go home and enjoy yourself. Nobody does that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person shows up, says, here, bring me your sins. Like, put them before me, acknowledge them, accept them, seek forgiveness for them, only from me. And then, here is a gift on top of that, and the gift is Jannah, which is ultimate, infinite paradise, which is actually the goal of every believer to begin with. SubhanAllah. And that's what now, okay, let's go back because we started with this. Let's go back and just listen to these few words from the Quran. Allah, Wallahu ghafurur rahim. That's what the scholars, they say that Allah is forgiving and merciful. What that means is that Allah completely forgives, and then he exhibits his, one of the ways by which he exhibits his mercy is to bestow gifts upon the person who seeks forgiveness. And by the way, Hajj is not the only example of this. Every single act that we engage in is an example of this. We present our sins. When we come to Salah, we're bringing our sins. When we make wudu, we're bringing our sins. When we come to Jummah, we're bringing our sins. In every single engagement, we bring less than what needs to be brought to the table. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts us and gives us a reward in return. Gives us gifts in return. These are gifts in the end, right? I mean, it could have easily been said, come to prayer, you'll be forgiven, and then come to the next prayer, and you'll then receive a reward. But it doesn't work that way. Even before you get up from the prayer, you get your forgiveness plus more gifts. 27 times if you happen to be praying in the congregational prayer, so many times if you happen to be praying in Makkah, Medina, etc. I mean, there's not only like gifts, there's like multipliers on the gifts. It's not like a one gift, but we'll multiply it this many times if you do it this way, this many times if you perform it here, this many times if you perform it at that time. Subhanallah. It's like over and over, over and over, over and over again, we are continuously experiencing the fact that Wallahu ghafurur rahim. It's completely mind-blowing. What's even more mind-blowing is that we just blow past these lines in the Quran. You know, this comes up a lot where Allah is described as either ghafur or rahim or both. And subhanAllah, we just blast right by it. It doesn't even faze us. Like it should cause us to pause and appreciate the reality of the opportunity that we've been bestowed. Such enormous blessings. Such enormous blessings. Honestly, like I said, we should be stuck on Ramadan, let alone wondering like what else is coming and all of the great opportunities that are before us. Anyway, the simple summary for today is that there is a very, very big sun that is rising. Very, very bright light that is rising across the horizon of our lives in the direction of our deen, which is this amazing opportunity of Hajj. And we should awaken ourselves to it. We should appreciate that it's coming. We should be excited, even if we're not going. We should be excited that it's even going to happen. You know, I mean, if I say to you, why do you care about the NBA? Why are you so excited to watch the games? You don't play. You're just watching what happens. And the person says, it's so exciting for me because I can feel what the players feel. I wear their jersey. I dress like them. I make my emotions like them. I can feel what's going on. When they hit that shot, I feel that tingle go down my spine. Even though I didn't hit it, and I could never even hit that shot. Because people who love something, they also love to watch that thing. They love to see that thing is occurring. So, I mean, the same with Hajj. Like, we are lovers of Allah's mercy. We are lovers of the opportunities that He provides His believers. We are lovers of what the prophets before us did. That's what Hajj is. And there's this like mistaken notion that exists in our heads that, well, I'm not going for Hajj. It's just a side thing. People are going. No, we should be totally engaged in the fact that this the light of this mercy is rising in front of our eyes. And there's this excitement that is arising in the universe. And that any person of sense who appreciates how much forgiveness is going to occur in Hajj, how many people are going to be able to attain salvation in Hajj, how many people are going to be able to be rejuvenated through that Hajj, we should be excited and passionate to even watch that that's going to occur, to know that's going to occur, to experience and think that that's going to occur. And even if we're not going for Hajj, we should be thinking about Hajj, reviewing Hajj, hoping we could be at Hajj, imagining what it would like to be like to be at Hajj, planning for what would happen if one day I was given the opportunity to go for Hajj. And by the way, none of these things are foreign because it's exactly what people do who are interested in anything. And people who are interested in the NBA, they imagine what would it be like if I met this player in the street one day. Or I imagine what it would be like if I was able to play one-on-one with this player. I mean, the mind has the ability to imagine, and the imagination goes in every direction when somebody loves something. We are lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love the opportunities that He provides His servants. And even if we're not there, we'd love to just hear about it, listen to it, watch it, experience it from the third person, from even from the outside dimension. Because subhanAllah, by the way, the blessings of Hajj are not limited to the people who go for Hajj. The blessings of Hajj, they pour down on Mecca, but they are so abundant that they overflow all of the universe. Not all of Earth, not all of humanity, all of the universe. Every single thing in the universe is completely flooded by the mercies that arise from Hajj. And these mercies have already started flowing. Yes, the floodgates aren't completely open, but they're tremendous. They've already started arising. And they just continue, just as the sun rises. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the wisdom to be able to appreciate all of the unique opportunities that He has placed before us. May He grant us the sense to be able to understand how unique these experiences truly are and what metaphysical realities they contain. And may He make us amongst those who appreciate them to the extent that they just that His name is constantly coming from our tongue. The lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't need to be reminded. You don't need to remind someone that say, do your dhikr, say the name of Allah, do muraqabah, say istighfar, make salawat. The lovers of Allah have the opposite problem. They need to be reminded to put a pause and go do the other things that are needed as part of existence in this world. You don't need to remind the lover of anything. You don't need to remind the fan of, I don't know, what team, pick a team, the Bulls, probably not a good team, but you don't need to remind a Bulls fan that the games are happening. They remind you. They're always looking forward to those. And they're the ones that will tell everybody else. That's the status of the people who appreciate all of the blessings and mercy that Allah has bestowed upon them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes to the reality of our existence. May He make us amongst those who are cognizant of all of the enormous blessings. And may He allow us to be amongst those who are constantly engaged in His remembrance, cognizant of that reality that surrounds us. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين